You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up program and the Fire Up team, Dave, Rob, Aaron and Dean. How are you, comrades?
We're all well. I can't actually speak for anyone else.
All fired up from that.
I'm certainly well.
Actually, Rob's fucking a bit sick and it's not real pleasant sitting beside him.
Yeah, you'd rob a bank with you, Dave.
Yes,
Big week for MUA land, National Council happening, the highest governing body of the union.
Certainly is, and that's held twice yearly, in normally around March, and then around March, April, then around September, October. And we've Dave and I sit on the National Council, and so we're in Sydney this week to discuss all matters pertaining to the MUA and it's a three full days of meetings, and they are full days, aren't they, Dave? So,
yeah, very long days.
The agenda is quite full, and discussing everything from the strategic fleet to the finance of the union to future campaigns. And we have, I think, Michael Wright from the ETU is coming in. Zach Smith always attends, and we always have Hunterling do a presentation as well. So all of our partners are invited. So, yes, it is a big week, Aaron, up here. So we will do that, Dave, and I will do that the best of our ability, try and represent us in the fashion news.
I'll try to do it a little bit better than that. But...
Everything all right with you, Dino?
Everything's fantastic, mate. Lovely day in Melbourne. Not a cloud in the sky or a breath of wind, mate. It's a beautiful day in Melbourne. I'm ready for another big day in the office. So, yes, everything's great down here, comrades. Aaron and I are holding the fort for you until you get back next week.
Very good.
Oh, no, we'll be in the office Friday, mate.
Okay, I'll see you then.
So we just thought we'd run through the different businesses that operate in the port. We know the members know them pretty well, but we thought we might start up at East and West Swanson Dock. Dino, you look after East Swanson. What have we got there, mate? How many members and what are the businesses that work out of there?
We've got just under 300 members, mate, at Patrick at the moment. It's not as large a workforce as DP. Things have quietened down a little bit, mate, since the loss of the MSC contract, which has continued to flow on for nearly 12 months now. And as our listeners and members know, we've had three rounds of redundancies, which is not always a good thing. But that's occurred off the back of the loss of this work. So things are quiet. It doesn't look like we've picked up. They've picked up a couple of jobs from Patrick. So I think there was one last week. And there's some headings there, I think, eight in total over the coming months that they'll pick up little short, discharge and loads. But, things have quietened down quite a bit at Patrick's.
Traditionally, that's it's probably sits at around 330, 340 in the early 340s, the membership there. So to be down around 300 is certainly a step backwards.
And program.
Program industrial maintenance.
Air programmed are going all right, mate. As we've reported back several shows ago, we have tied up all their EA, so things look like they've settled down really well there. We've got some site visits planned for programmed in the coming week, so go down and see how the boys are going. But from all accounts, things look like they've settled down pretty well at programmed.
Programs sit at East Swanson Dock, and they do all the maintenance, or the bulk of the maintenance on the straddles and cranes, etc.
And then if you cross the river, you get the DB World, Aaron.
We do, yes. Deep World. The members would have heard a lot about Deep World, but we're sitting at I think it's around 400 or so members, including maintenance, probably a touch above. They've gone through a few rounds of redundancies as well, but have also just put on another 20. So it's a vicious cycle of making people redundant and then rehiring. And Patrick's did the same thing. I think 5 or 6 years ago they went through a round of redundancies and then picked people up. And it is a pretty vicious, although it's pretty consistent. Sorry, not vicious, consistent cycle. In the industry with the shipping lines switching back and forth. But DP World is also proposing to automate. They haven't really given us any further information other than they've got a concept of how they want to do it. And they expect to go through a tender process to see if they can have some equipment built to meet their expectations by the end of this year. The process should be done. And they're telling us that it'll be a 6 month manufacture, deliver and commission of those of that plant, which in my experience is not probable, but let's see. We have to wait to see who the manufacturer is and what the capabilities are before we get that date fixed in concrete. But they're looking at the middle of next year. However, I expect that timeline will be pushed out quite significantly. So that's I guess where DP World is at, but it's
One thing that we've never been able to grasp is why DP World and Patrick's traditionally over the years have always had roughly the same market share, bounces around a few percent here and there. Yet Patrick's have always had about 50% less of the workforce of in numbers, and that's all that clearly around rosters and all that sort of stuff. But we've never been able to really fathom why that happens and has traditionally occurred for such a long period of time. And I don't have the answer, by the way, but I'm thinking that's
No,
a bit of a problem.
it's yeah, it is quite interesting. Look, there, I think the rosters is the big factor. And well, the rosters, or lack thereof rosters for the VSEs, is probably one of the dominant factors there. Because the modes are all the same, the travel times are the same, the footprint's a little bit different, like the layout, which might cause a bit of a additional travel time, but not a great deal. Not I wouldn't think to have 30% more workforce than Patrick's. But yeah, look, it's pretty interesting. Everybody there still does an average of a 35-hour week on the rosters, so we're doing the same average weekly hours as the Patrick's guys as well. Yeah, it's something that I'd never actually considered or looked at in any real detail, to be honest, Robbie.
And then if you go on to Appleton Dock, Robbie, who works at Appleton Dock and what do they do there?
AAT work there, Dave, and Cube. AAT have the site actually at Appleton Dock, but Cube do all the shipping there, and that's
What sort of cargo?
they do everything from the odd car boat, which they don't really do anymore, but they have done the odd car boat there. They do the steel ships, all that sort of stuff, but it's moving towards more of a bulk terminal. That's where it's headed. They've got a contract Cube now for something like 10 years with a rig around mineral sands, and they're
So that's
looking at
those two
other.
new cranes that have been built down there, the two new
Oh,
cranes that have been placed down there to
the
facilitate that trade.
two big shore cranes that they got from Tauranga, New Zealand. They brought them across, and that's what they're there for. So that contract will start on around about, I think around about January. And there's other bulk contracts you're looking at to actually, that will just become a bulk terminal. And I think there's a whole redevelopment going on there. That F berth, that shed's going. That's going to be a that won't be there anymore. So I think that that other shipping that's been done out of F berth for the last, however many years, that'll be moving. I'm not sure where to, but so that's there's a whole range of things happening at that D berth. D apple and Doc DNA there.
Has there
So
been any talks, Robbie, about moving the that rice, the grain berth there? Has there been any talks around that? You know what?
I don't know where the grains berth is impacted by the Port of Melbourne's expansion plan or development plan. I'd have to go
No.
and have a look. It's not, I don't think.
The answer, Dean, is no. I haven't had that because we haven't covered that terminal for as long as I've been around, and been a bit of a bane of our existence at that particular point. So the answer, Dean, is no. I don't have an answer for that. Where they, where that have to, where the, that would be moving to. So yeah, but that is the plan is to, that will become a bulk terminal, with all these different line. There's a line contract, I think, that could be in the wind and a few others. So. That's and so that would mean that Qube in the short to long term would be needing to do their steel ship somewhere else.
Yeah.
And there's some talk around that, whether that actually happens. But they now own the Marat site, which has now been purchased by Qube, and Qube actually own AAT. So given that they will own that space, you would probably expect them to start to potentially doing down around West Webb there, moving some of the bulk cargo, the general cargo stuff there.
And just along there, Vic Dock, we have a lot of offshore vessels come in, Dino, that just working in Bass Strait.
We sure do, mate. And we've seen an influx of those vessels coming into the port, mate, over the last probably 6 months more so, which has been great. And obviously, it's created a bit of work for our shore-based guys as well with those vessels coming in. And as our members know, they require gangway watches, which is always good. So we try and pick up some retired members or members out of work from time to time to fill those positions, which is good. But it also gives us a chance to connect and get down and see our offshore members, which can be a little bit difficult at times due to the distances required to travel, places like Barry's Beach or Portland. So yeah, it's good that we try and get on those vessels when they're alongside in Melbourne. But the work has picked up a little bit. I know it's the next phase of the industry, if you want to call it that. The decommissioning has started, but the ripping down of the rigs has slowed down a little bit. But in general, yeah, we're seeing quite a few offshore vessels coming to Melbourne, mate, which is good.
And ANS often do the stevedoring for those vessels, so that's Australian National Stevedores. They also work out of Yarraville, where they do slag boats and a few other different type of commodities, and they also work out of Geelong. But if we move up the river a bit,
What's a
obviously,
slag boat? Don't explain to the members.
well, everyone stands on top and spits in it.
Slag
Oh my, I didn't see that coming, eh? But and you might have to edit that
then obviously on the river itself, we've got Svitzer. Their home is just under the West Gate Bridge, where we have all our members there running the tugboats, and we love our Svitzer members.
suppose I'm, can I just I'll stop there? You did attend the 50, I think it's third anniversary or something of the West Gate Bridge collapse
We did.
last week.
We did.
I'm
And
just like an inquiry there, mate.
paid our tribute to those people
Respect,
that
yeah.
lost their lives on that. 35, I think 35 people lost
35
their
people
lives
lost their
on that.
lives. That was catalyst for much safer workplaces.
Good turnout to that memorial.
I had a wreath too, it was very good here. That was nice branch as usual.
We then hit the web dock, of course, where we have all the pieces.
While we're next to Switzerland, we've got our members at Bhagwan who do all the
Oh.
maintenance throughout the port. They keep the beacons and all the maintenance stuff up to scratch and work in good working order to make sure that everybody that uses the port is safe. They also do a lot of wharf construction and things like that around the port too. So all of our members there, and they're about to move into bargaining, and we're meeting with them. Met with them. What day is the day? Thursday. We met with them yesterday, where they endorsed a log of claims to pursue through bargaining as their agreement expires early next year.
And we have divers there, Aaron.
Yes, divers as well. They support the wharf construction. They do the underwater side of it. They construct or reconstruct a lot of the pylons that support the wharves. And they do a lot of work down there and down at Station Pier and Princess Pier and
And did those divers
around the port.
join MUA relatively recently? I seem to remember. Is that right?
The Bhagwan started in the port relatively recently, and we did their first agreement. Many of the divers that work for them had worked in the offshore and were members of ours previously, but we did have a bit of a push to try and sign up all the inshore divers, which is a part of the industry that was kind of a bit sporadic historically, but it's the work is more consistent now. So there's people that are sticking around for those projects longer and longer, and we're joining them up and improving their wages and conditions right across the board beyond just Bhagwan, but Bhagwan's the biggest employer.
Are you
And
gonna
so
have
we're just.
a song? Because you've been yabbering on here. All right, let's go to a song. We've got a Paul Kelly song for you. Paul Kelly and the Messengers, Dumb Things. Hope you enjoy it, comrade. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that Paul Kelly song. Bit of Australian music there. Paul Kelly's a bit of a legend, isn't he, Rob?
He certainly is, and I
Oh,
actually
it's
saw a
great
film.
to collecting that song and looking at the clip. It's great. It really takes me back to that era. And I actually knew some of the people who were in the band. So I it was
Oh.
and some of them aren't alive anymore now. So it was
Oh.
really sweet to see them playing You in used to party their with glory. them, Annie? No, well, so people, I used to know the
Oh.
people who made film clips. And
Oh, yeah.
so, and they're also friends with people because, it's like with union people, political people have families and, are musicians.
Now, I saw something recently with him on NABC, it was Zan Road, Take Five. And I've always liked Paul Kelly, but wow, he's a quirky character, really quirky character. But, as musicians go, he fits into the genius.
And if you like Paul Kelly, there's a fantastic documentary going out around him that's well worth a watch. Anyway, let's get to Web Doc, where a lot of our members are in a lot of different businesses. We've got links.
No, you're right. We got links down at Web Doc. They work alongside our Cube members at the AAT or former MIRRAT site, and they all do car vessels,
PCC, pure car carriers.
car carriers
A
and
railroad.
roll-off vessels.
PCCs.
Now that David's back to the land of the living.
Of course, we've got Sea Road and Straight Link, whose home there at Webb Dock is a bit uneasy, Dino.
No, I wouldn't say uneasy, comrade. They've been there for a hell of a long time. The port has pushed back. Oh, not the port has pushed back, sorry. I know that the two both companies aren't too keen on moving from where they are, mate. There's talk around the redevelopment of Appleton, like we mentioned before. When's that been pushed out to? I think it was 30, 2037. So they got a long time there left, mate. Whether it happens at the end of the day, who knows? But
They're
obviously the
part of the Tassie trade.
yeah, exactly right. It's an extremely important part of not only the, you know, the Australian economy, but keeping Tassie, you know, well connected to the mainland. So, mate, who knows? Let's see what the future holds. I don't think anyone really knows at the moment. Obviously, our position would be that they, you know, our preferred position would be that they stay there.
Yeah,
and
then
maybe potential to relocate some of the ro-ros and car vessels up the river or somewhere else to keep supporting these businesses in Bass Strait. But
Aaron, you had some historical moment at Strait Link in the last couple of weeks, where for the first time in their history, they employed a female stevedore.
Yeah, they put on a bunch of female stevedores, which is great. Half a dozen of them will start over the next little while. It's really rare that they put people on down at Strait Link. It's a good job. People stay there for a long period of time. There's not been a great deal of expansion, but now they've had a number of retirements. They've been able to go through a recruitment process, which is really good. I think in my time as an official and potentially my time in Victoria, it might be the first time they've put on a group of people down there, and they've put on all females, which is really good from Strait Link, and really good for our industry.
That wasn't straightforward. They had to actually build
yeah, facilities. Yeah, they had to redo the whole amenities and stuff like that, which took a bit of time and things like that, but it should be a very comfortable place for our new comrades to work, which is really good. And then if we're going to wrap up Melbourne, I guess we've got WebDoc and VICT, where we've got almost 300 members, or I think it would be around that, down there, just shy of maybe about 250. They are in the most automated terminal in Australia, but obviously automation is not efficient, and the only way you can get good enough numbers to be able to satisfy shipping customers is by having manual intervention, and that's what our members do. They drive the cranes, they lock the boxes, they unlock the boxes, they lash, pin, do all the maintenance, put the boxes on and off the trucks. There's nothing down there that our guys don't do. And so it's great. The only way that they can get the numbers is by having people working them. So automation isn't the solution. It's just union busting.
That's it. Look, we've ran out of time. We didn't get out to our regional ports of Geelong, Portland, Western Port, Hastings, Lakes Entrance, Barry's Beach. So we have got a lot of other members out in their regional ports, and we should say hello to them. And
about three shows there, don't they?
And what song do you have for us going into here now, Dave?
We're going to stick with Paul Kelly. Paul Kelly, although a different band, Paul Kelly and the Coloured Girls, Before Too Long. Hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, members. Have a good day.
See you, comrades.
Before too long, the one that you're loving, I wish that he never met you.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.